Are you a patient person? Patience is something we all struggle with from time to time. But Pastor Al Pittman says we should not only be patient, but we should find joy in that patience.
When I'm patiently waiting on God, when I'm long-suffering with a fellow brother or sister in Christ, I can do that not with sort of a legalistic attitude, I will be patient, while inside I am churning with bitterness or whatever, or I will be long-suffering, I'll put up with that person, I'll just bite my lip a little harder. That's not the kind of patience and long-suffering he's talking about. He's talking about the kind that you do with joy, because you are in the presence of God, and he is providing you his strength, his glorious power to live by. And so, because I'm living by his power, I can have joy in the midst of patience and long-suffering. But as soon as I say, Lord, I can handle this, I'm in trouble.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
The emotions we experience when we first come to know Jesus Christ are wonderful, and they're pretty memorable too. I think we can all recall times in our lives when God's presence was a very real thing. What happens, though, when that initial euphoria wears away and we face the ups and downs of everyday life? That's what we'll talk about today on The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman. Our scripture reference is Colossians chapter 1. This is our first study in Al's series through Colossians, so we're glad you're here. Paul wrote this letter to a church that had fallen victim to false teaching, the same false teaching that's going on today. Here's Al Pittman.
Am I honoring the Lord in my walk and what I'm doing? It's important for us to ask those questions of ourselves, and quite frankly, sometimes we're not. But when you recognize it, you don't sit there and argue with God. You say, okay, God, what is your will? Father, forgive me. Help me to do what is right here. He says that if you will do that, he said, then you will be fully, verse 10, pleasing the Lord and being fruitful in the Lord. As sentinels of faith, using the imagery again of the tomb of the unknown soldier, as sentinels of faith, our steps must be guided by truth. The truth of God is our code. It is our creed by which we walk. Just as the sentinels before are the tomb of the unknown soldier has a creed and a code by which they walk. God's word is our creed. It is our code of ethics, if you will. You know, just imagine if, you know, for a moment that you took the trip to Arlington, you know, almost got killed driving on the highways out there. If you've ever driven out there, you know what I'm talking about. Finally get to your hotel, check in. So if y'all excited about going to Arlington Cemetery the next day to see this wonderful display, demonstration of these soldiers marching and the awesome reverence and all. And you get there and you know, the soldier that shows up, you know, is kind of halfway dressed and he just, you know, he gets on the black mat and starts doing a break dance routine or something. You would be disappointed. And then some other sentinel shows up and he decides, I don't want to walk in front of the tomb. I think I'll just kind of walk out here and wander. I'm going to have a little picnic out here on the grounds. Another person shows up and they want to drive around the tomb of an unknown soldier in a motorcycle or something, on a motorcycle or whatever. And you would be disappointed because everybody shows up. Every sentinel shows up and does things according to their will rather than the code of ethics that they sworn allegiance to. What makes it the place such a reverent place, a place that is such awe, a presence of awe in that place, is because they have set aside their personal desires and have willingly submitted to a code of ethics that's bigger than they are and greater than they are and are willing in rain or shine to march heel-toe, 21 paces in one direction, 21 in the other direction, day and night, out of respect for the sacrifice of those who rest in that tomb. Many times in the church, we come in here and we think, you know, I know what the code of ethics says, but I'm going to do what I want to do. And the result is that we lose a sense of reverential awe for the presence of God. There's a sense of reverence and awe because with those sentinels because they honor the code. They honor the word that is written down, their code of ethics and the creed. We too, as sentinels of faith, should honor the code and the word of God in the same way. And we've got a thing going around today, and you've probably heard about it, and politicians talking about it, but there are some liberal politicians, and I'm not, you know, I hope your politics is guided by the Holy Ghost. But there are some on the liberal side of politics, the extreme liberal side, I would say, that promote the fact that the Constitution is really a living document. And what they mean by that is that it can be changed. according to the carnal dictates of our ever-changing society. And any time that if it doesn't fit our lifestyle, we should change the concept. It's a living document. But it is my humble opinion that such a philosophy will inevitably fragment that which has united us as a nation. You've got to have some kind of foundation, something rock solid that everybody's adhering to in order to have unity. If we're all trying to deal with and promote all the special interests that are in the nation, then we won't have any unity as a nation. You may disagree with me, but listen to this. When you consider the Word of God, some people approach God's Word as if it's some kind of political living document. To change it and alter it, to delete and add to it according to their own dictates. But God's Word is not a political living document. It is the Word of God. And it's not He who conforms to us, but we conform to Him. And so Paul is saying here, walk worthy. Come underneath the will of God, the understanding of His Word. In all wisdom, adhere your life to His Word. In His wisdom, lean not towards your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your walk, your path. And so we should not come to God's Word and say, well, you know, I know it said it back then, but it doesn't mean it today. Yes, it does. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let God be true, and every man a liar. God never changes. God has given us His Word, and Paul is encouraging them to adhere to the unchangeable tenets of God's Word for their protection and for their growth. So we walk with the Lord in our walk. A walk worthy of the Lord is first, it has to have the right foundation. And if when we walk before the Lord, we not only have to have the right foundation, but also the right motivation. That is motivated by knowing Him, knowing His will, knowing His Word in our life, adhering to His Word in our life. And finally, we have to have to walk in a worthy manner means to walk with to have the manifestation of our walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So the manifestation of our walk we come to is a third point. The manifestation is found in verses 11 to 14. As Paul continues his thought out of verse 10, he says, increasing in the knowledge of God. And then he says, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and longsuffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified. You want to underline that word in your Bible if you have a pen. Verse 12, who has qualified your version might have another word there for qualified, but all means the same thing. Who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered, underline delivered. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption, underline redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. The manifestation of our walk. A life worthy of the Lord is a Spirit-filled life. A life that is led by the Spirit of God. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, actually in the original Greek text says, be continually filled. It's not just, well, I did something 20 years ago, so I'm good to go. It is daily, a daily dependence upon God's glorious power and strength for my life. Asking God for His help. Be filled with the Spirit, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to one another in songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. When our life is led by the Spirit, we have joy in our relationship with one another. You see that? And Paul says here in the latter part of verse 11 in our text, he says, strengthened by His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. It's one thing to have patience and long-suffering, but then patience and long-suffering with joy. How do you get that joy? It's through the fellowship of God, fellowshipping with Him. But the Bible says that in His presence is the fullness of joy. And if the presence and the Spirit of God is living in me, I have the fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore, the Bible says. And then the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is my strength. So when I'm patiently waiting on God, when I'm long-suffering with a fellow brother or sister in Christ, I can do that not with sort of a legalistic attitude. I will be patient. While inside I'm churning with bitterness or whatever, or I will be long-suffering. I'll put up with that person. I'll just bite my lip a little harder. That's not the kind of patience and long-suffering he's talking about. He's talking about the kind that you do with joy. Joy comes along with your patience. Joy comes along with your long-suffering because you are in the presence of God and he is providing you his strength, his glorious power to live by. And so because I'm living by his power, I can have joy in the midst of patience and long-suffering. But as soon as I say, Lord, I can handle this, I'm in trouble. Kenny can beat me up later, but he was on the trip to Kenya, to Nairobi, and he shared with me. He told the Lord, he said, Lord, if you can just keep me healthy, I can do this. God allowed him to get sick. So he would show him that you can't do this without my strength and without my power. And in a sickened condition, he was totally dependent upon God. And God performed amazing things that he himself could not do in his own strength. God wants us dependent upon him so that our strength and our joy comes from him. Not from our self-will or our own power.
Dependence on anything but ourselves is seen as weakness by the world, but we know that dependence on God is the most powerful way to live. Have you ever considered becoming a financial supporter on this radio outreach? We would certainly be encouraged and grateful for your support. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org. Or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now here's Pastor Al once again with the second half of today's message.
Walk worthy. Or to walk, rather, worthy is to be daily strengthened according to God's power. A life spirit-led, as Paul said, be led by the Spirit so you do not gratify the desires of the flesh. A life that is led by the Holy Spirit. That's a life that is well-pleasing to God. Didn't say you wouldn't make mistakes. Didn't say you wouldn't fall on your face sometimes. But your desire is to walk in the Spirit, and you immediately get up and you continue to follow him. A righteous man or woman falls seven times and gets up seven times. That's true victory. Saying, God, I was wrong. God, I want to conform my life to your will, not my own will, so that I can be well-pleasing to you. But I can't do it on my own, Lord. I need your strength. I'm dependent upon you. Well, Paul gives us here three reasons for our joy in patience and long-suffering. Obviously, it's the presence of God, as we talked about. But there are three reasons that he gives us here, I think, that accentuates our joy, even in times of patience and long-suffering. I've asked you to underline those three words already: qualified, delivered, and redeemed. Boy, this ought to get your Holy Ghost juices flowing. The first thing Paul says, and he's really sort of giving the Gnostics a black eye here, who are sort of usurping the authority of Christ and elevating other angels and other spiritual beings above the Lord, by saying this. He says in verse 12 that we give thanks to our Father. We have great joy because we are thankful because our Father has qualified us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in the light of the saints. God has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light of Christ. Qualified. Right now, this morning, if you have faith in Christ, you are qualified. That word literally means to be made fit or adequate, to be partakers of the divine nature, to be one with Jesus, as Hebrews says, that he is not ashamed to call us his brethren, that we are being sanctified and therefore, because we are his brethren, we are indeed one with Christ, not when we get to heaven, but right now in your weakened condition and maybe your own failure, you are still one with Christ. He is sanctifying you, still working in your life. You have not made it yet. But you are to understand that you are qualified not on the basis of your performance, but on the basis of His performance. It is the Father, not you, who has qualified you. And so, therefore, we're able to stand in the very presence of God without any condemnation, for there is now no condemnation in. You got to get in Christ Jesus. He has qualified us, made you fit to stand in the very presence of God, to be a partaker of the divine nature, as 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 talks about us being partakers of the divine nature of Christ. Secondly, he says, not only are you qualified, but you're delivered. Christ has delivered us. Again, Paul refuting the claims of the Judaizers who were teaching that, no, you need to keep the Ten Commandments as well. Paul is saying, no, we've been delivered. The commandments haven't delivered us. Jesus kept the commandments, and He is the one who has delivered us. For no other name has been given to us by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says. He has delivered us. Christ alone has the power to transfer our spiritual citizenry from the kingdom and dominion of darkness to the kingdom of God's love. We look at verse 13. He says, and He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed, that means transferred, us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. See, folks, we serve another king. We sometimes, we know that we're in the kingdom, in God's kingdom, but we many times act as if we're still in another kingdom, the kingdom of the world. And I know we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We're of another kingdom. We live according to the dictates of another king. And Jesus has taken our lives and has transferred us from one kingdom to another. He's the only one who can change our citizenry. He's the only one who can transfer you from the kingdom of darkness, hopelessness, a life of sin, the punishment of sin, the wages of sin, and transfer you over to the kingdom of God's love, where all God has for you is His love and His mercy and His grace. Aren't you glad this morning that you got your transfer? You know, you live in the big cities, you got to have a bus transfer sometimes. If you don't have a transfer, you can't get on the bus. But if you have a transfer, it can take you to the next destination. This is our transfer right here, the Word of God, based on what Jesus Christ has done and what His Word declares. He alone is able to deliver us. And lastly, Christ has redeemed us. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Our debt has been erased before the very sight of God. He has redeemed us. It literally means we are released upon payment. We have been ransomed as a slave or a debtor. God paid the price, paid your bail. And we were released, redeemed, and actually beyond paying your bail, He bought you back. You were sold into slavery, into sin, and He purchased you back by the blood of Jesus. He said, you belong to me. God doesn't give back the things that He owns. Amen. You belong to Him. Now listen, you've been qualified. You've been delivered. You've been redeemed. If that doesn't put a little bump in your step, I don't know what will. I got nothing else to say to you. Amen. Qualified. I mean, you remember when you used to get dressed up on Saturday night? Amen. I had to go there. You get dressed up on Saturday night, man. I remember, boy, just, you know, you take that shower, finally. And for us guys, you take that shower and you come out of there, man. You got on the duds, you know, back in the day, you know, the wide lapel collar. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know, you got on the nice silk shirt, man. You got on the bell bottoms and the platform shoes, man. And you're standing in front of the mirror and you look so good. You got the little, some of y'all know what I'm talking about, the afro going on with the, and you spray, hit that with the afro sheen, you know what I mean? Beautiful people use afro sheen, by the way. And so you spray your hair with that, amen. And you look at, and you may be going by a mirror and all of a sudden you see yourself and you go, yeah. Because you feel qualified, amen. You feel like, oh, and somebody's gonna want this tonight, amen. And you feel good because you're looking good. You feel like there's a pep in your step. You don't just walk into the place where you're going to a party with your head down. You walk it, man. You got one of those hats. Amen. Because something's happened. You gotta walk worthy of what you represent. I mean, you representing like that, you got to walk worthy. We represent the one who died for our sins. If your head's down, get it up. He's the lifter of my head because I've been redeemed. I've been delivered, and I'm qualified to say so. Amen. Jesus has done this for you. There ought to be a little pep in your step. And therefore, to walk in any other manner, to walk with an attitude downtrodden, beat up, you know, nobody loves me and all that, is to walk beneath what Jesus has redeemed you for. Are you living below your standards? It's like inheriting millions of dollars and living underneath the Bijou Bridge because you don't have faith to believe that God loves you that much. Walk worthy. Representing what his worthiness, not my own. I've been redeemed. I'm qualified. I'm delivered. And I'm going to walk like it with my head up. I don't know how it's all going to work out, Lord. You can work it out. But I'm going to walk like I'm somebody. And I know somebody. And I'm just here to tell everybody else about somebody I know. Amen. The foundation, the motivation, and the manifestation of a walk worthy of our Lord, unlike the sentinel, is a walk that is to be walked among the living and not the dead. The sentinel at Arlington Cemetery is walking around a tomb, walking before a tomb, marching before a tomb. But the Jesus we serve is not in the tomb. He is risen and beckons us beyond the realm of the dead to live a brand new redeemed life of faith and power, a life reflective of a risen Christ. We don't need to walk around the graveyards anymore. The cadence of his word calls us to a world that needs Christ, to live life before them that they may want what we possess. You know, we make things harder than they really are in the Lord. Some people make it difficult. Oh, I've got to do this. I got to jump through hoops and all this. And then I got to join church membership and I got to serve on the board and I got to whatever, you know, so I can really know that I'm saved. No, it just takes one step to begin a worthy walk, one step of faith. It's very simple. Pastor and author Max Lucado writes this. He says, if there are 1,000 steps between us and God, he will take all but one. He will leave the final one for us. The choice is ours. God will take 999 steps. Jesus has taken 999 steps. He died on the cross for you. He's qualified you. He's redeemed you. He's delivered you. It's all there for you. All you need to do is embrace it. You say, but I can't get there. I'm so separated from God. I'm so far. It takes one step because he's already done all the rest. Amen.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We really need your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study in God's wonderful Word. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.